Psalm 19 again, our lead scripture in this series. We are talking about the conversion of our souls. That simply means that our souls can come into agreement with our born-again regenerate spirit and can aid us in this life of God that we've been given. And there can be less and less of enmity in us, in our soulish life and in our fleshly life against Father God and His purposes for our lives. The more we feed our spirit and empower our spirit and allow our born-again, regenerate human spirit to be developed, we're going to find this happening. And so this is what this is all about, the conversion of our souls. And in Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11, the word of the Lord says this: the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the whole person. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and bright, enlightening the eyes. The reverent fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even than much fine gold. They are sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, reminded, illuminated, instructed. That's what it means to be warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I like rewards. I like rewards. I'm not vain or self-conceited, but I like rewards. You know, and I especially like when I'm rewarded of God. Amen. That's one of the ways that He shows His approval of your faith in action. Amen? When you step out and you obey Him in the leading of the Spirit and that reward comes, that's a way of Him showing that He approves of the action and the steps that you've taken. And we need that because that builds relationship. It does. It builds relationship. Now, I'm going to let you drop down with me to verse 14 at this particular time in this same chapter. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my firm, impenetrable rock and my redeemer. Now, so the heart does not automatically meditate upon things that are acceptable by God. Amen? Amen? So now he's praying again, isn't he, in the direction of a conversion here. He's in right relationship with God. The old covenant relationship that he had with God under the law had him just as much saved as we are, you know, and he went to Abraham's bosom when he died. And when the Christ showed up and presented himself and preached the gospel fully to them, I'm sure that the Lord had an altar call and they all prayed the prayer of salvation. Amen? Amen. But he was in right relationship with God. And so he said, let the words of my mouth. Now, this is very important. What we speak is very important. See, we get, you know, the reason why we say wrong things sometimes is because of the unconverted state of the soul. Because the unconverted state of the soul is a very rational, down-to-earth thinking, and he also speaks and thinks in terms of the soulish or the fleshly, the natural things. He's the one that wants to bring caution when you want to step out and obey the Lord. Yeah. And God does some very special things to destroy that and to bring that to a place where it's inoperative in your life, if you'll pay attention. You know, I mean, you know, when we purchased our home, one of the thoughts that I had was, oh Lord, What if I lose my job and I'm taking on this big responsibility? Boom. I lost my job. See, my confidence cannot be in what I can do, see, to provide for myself. Right? And anything that is akin to that, the Holy Spirit works to destroy that out of your life. Because that is anti-faith. See, that is a social, soulish security. Are you with me? That is a social, soulless security that we're trying to lean on. And God doesn't want us to lean on that. Jesus couldn't ever relax to lean on his upbringing, his heritage, the status in his family, that he was an Israelite. Come on now. He couldn't rely on any of those things. The only thing that he could rely on was the living word of God that was in his heart. The knowledge of God's will for him and what his job was, what he came to accomplish, is what he meditated on. And you know as well as I do, he gave up everything to accomplish that for you and I. He gave up everything. His status in his family, the family business. He gave up his identification with his own family. He said words like, my mother, my sister, and my brother are those that what? That do the will of the Lord. So he set himself apart from all of the things that we try to rely on. We like identity and family. We like fellowships and relationships. And we like the security that we have and the tenure that we have with our jobs. And we have hope and confidence in our pension plans and our 401ks. And we have a sense of security because we get a little social security along with that. And all of that stuff, you know. And so we kind of want to one day put our feet up in the recliner and sit back and say, I fought a good fight. You know. I was faithful for 35 years. And now I'm going to take my ease and I'm going to watch the young folks struggle. Right? And see, we just can't live that way. And so because you're born again, God allows those sanctified experiences to come along and challenge you at the core of all of that comfort. You remember those sanctified experiences we talked about this morning? Sanctified experiences are those that he set apart knowing that one day you're going to start putting confidence in those things. And before you get rooted and grounded in it, here comes a sanctified experience that pulls the rug out from under you and you're left up in the middle of the air and you realize that 1 Corinthians 10:13 is true. He won't allow anything to come upon you that you're not able to bear. Hallelujah. And though it feels like you've been tossed up into the air, he's going to help you to find a comfortable resting place in him. Amen. See, it's really more about what God wants to do in our life than it is about what we call ourselves accomplishing. You see what I'm saying? It's more about what God wants to bring about in your life than it is what you can personally accomplish. See, we get misdirected even thinking about the success of a church and a ministry and what we've been able to do and all of the accolades that we can get and the pats on the back and all those, you know, honorable mentions that can come to us because of what we've done, you know? And yet God looks beyond all of those things. He looks at the very core of your being and he looks to see if there's intimacy there between you and him. And that means more to him than all that you can find your hands to do. See? That means more to him. So, Lord, let the words of my mouth, what we speak is important. Don't make a practice of allowing yourself to speak out of your feelings. Don't make a practice of that. That old saying is good, bite your tongue. It's better for you to bite your tongue than to speak negative words that will cause non-productive type things to happen concerning God's will for your life. Amen. If you got a real problem with it, we'll pray for you. Just come in and stick your tongue out every week, and we will anoint every puncture that you put in it and get you all healed up so you can go out and try again. But it would be worth it. It would be worth it, because the angels hearken to the voice of the Lord's word. And we don't want to make them inoperative and unable to accomplish in our lives what God wants to do. Amen? So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. So the heart does not automatically just think on, believe, right? Like it's supposed to. Not automatically. See? We have to give conscious attention to what the Word of God says and listen for the Word of God to speak to us in every one of life circumstances and situations and sanctified experiences. You have to be that kind of a person. Pay attention to what the Word of God says, because you need to do that, because you're being made whole in all of your being. You're not there yet. See, but anytime that you want to trust your feelings and that kind of, like, we call it the gut feeling, you know, you got to watch that too. You have to watch that too. Having a gut feeling doesn't mean that you're being led of the Spirit of God. It's just a manner of expression that we use. See, so you have got to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he's going to speak in agreement with what his word says. And God uses those sanctified experiences. He uses those sanctified experiences so that he can make you aware, amen, of what you're actually thinking in those moments that you are being pressed. Amen? In those moments when you're being pressed and it's coming in on all sides, you know, and... you know, we scramble to get a hold of our feelings, and we need to realize, no, I don't need to do that. I need to back away from that habit of reaching out to identify with my feelings and to find some kind of solace or some kind of peace, because I feel like everything's going to be all right now. That's not true. I mean, when Stephen was being stoned, he felt the welcoming presence of the Holy Spirit and was caught up into ecstasy and was able by vision to see the throne room, to see the actual throne room of God. But his feelings didn't have a thing to do with it. He did feel pain. I'm sure that God graciously caused him to be able to have whatever he needed to go through that, right? But I guarantee you, initially he felt the pain of the rock as it hit his head or his body in some way. But God gave him power. Amen? And he gives us power. And we miss so much of what God wants to do in our lives because we don't understand these sanctified experiences that are set apart for us as individuals. And it's all based on you and where you are as a believer and the way and the manner in which you carry yourself. It's based on what God can do to get you victory over yourself. See, we could preach for months and never mention the devil and just deal with me and you. Can't we do that? I mean, why bring him into this? Why bring him into our party? Oh, party pooper, we don't want him here. We don't need mentioning him. We got enough to deal with without bringing him into it. Hallelujah. And God knows that, and God knows how to fix us. Amen. If he's the one that is the mastermind behind creating us, he also knows how to fix us when we're broken. Hallelujah. He is our firm impenetrable rock and our redeemer. Now go back over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Hallelujah. Now this morning I concentrated on being new nature minded. And I brought out how that much of the ministry that's been done in the church throughout the centuries have dealt with sin. And how that we have become sin conscious because of that. And we're trying to be careful not to sin because of that. Amen. See, we're trying to, like we're walking a tightrope. You know? And if we do sin, we feel like, you know, God doesn't love us anymore. It's, you know, and what am I going to do now? And that's why some believers don't confess their faults to other believers, because they're more concerned about what's going to be thought about them than they are getting it right. Well, see, the ministry of the word is given to us. Now, Brother Hagin said it this way. He said that he spent more time in the epistles than he did in the old covenant. Right? Now, let me explain why he said that. It's not that you shouldn't read the old covenant, because there's a lot for you to pick up. But if you don't understand your place in God by, first of all, getting into the epistles and studying them like you should, so that you can glean from them what God has done for you and who you are in Christ, then you can miss what's in the old covenant and how God was pointing to this glorious day and experience that you're having now. You can miss it. But he said, there's no way that you can fully come to the place that you need to be in your purpose unless you get in the epistles and study them. He made this statement. He said, you cannot even get there just by reading the four gospels, because the gospels are a historic account of Jesus's ministry. But the epistles explain what his ministry brought about. Amen? You understand that?
Yes.
So you get in the epistles and you stay in there and you glean it. Like Jeremiah said, I found your words and I ate them. You get in those epistles and you feed on what the word of God is saying concerning you, who you are in Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, you feed on those things and you allow your mind to settle there. And you become new nature minded and get free from the sin consciousness that's been holding you down. And then you can walk in the freedom and the liberty that God has made available for you. Hallelujah. See? And you're in a place then where God can freely communicate to you what he wants to do. Because with sin consciousness, most of the time we're thinking we're not worthy to do that. Why would you ask me to do that? I'm not worthy. Amen? See, yes, you are worthy. How can you not be worthy if you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? There is no unworthy thing in him. Hallelujah. So we are worthy. He made us worthy. If you want to talk about unworthiness, you talk about how you were unable to be worthy until he came. But now you are worthy. Yes, you are. You're worthy. See, remember, new nature mindedness, that will elevate you in your thought life, that will elevate you in the thought life in your heart, right? That will elevate you in your speaking, in what you say out of your mouth, so that you'll be speaking on another plane where the angels are there listening to every word and ready to act on your words. Amen. This is what God wants to do. Can you imagine this? That the day comes when all of God's children are aware of this revelation and are actively involved in this revelation. And regardless of what's going on in the world, we are all believing the same thing. We are all meditating the same thing. And we are all speaking the same thing. And the angels of God is listening to the church like never before. And the faith of God is rising up from the planet like never before. Could you imagine what would happen in the world if all of the church would come to this place? See, what the devil has done is caused confusion and separated us by denomination. And so we're not thinking the same thing. We're not meditating the same thing. We're not believing the same thing. And we are not speaking the same thing. And that's how he is gaining victory over the body of Christ in this hour. And it's our responsibility to do something about that. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is just wonderful to me. Now, in Philippians 4:13, you don't have to turn there. You can write these scriptures down, and then you can go back there and look at them later, because I'm going to Psalm 119. But in Philippians 4:13, it says, you infuse inner strength into me, and I am self-sufficient only in your sufficiency. So he infuses inner strength into us, and he makes us sufficient in his sufficiency. Right? All right. So that means I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, I can. Say, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Amen. Amen. All right. So that's why we speak the word of God in the first person. You know, let's stay in the epistles just a little bit longer here, because this will empower you. That's why we say things like, thank you, Lord God, for filling us with full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will. Say that with me. Thank you, Lord God, for filling us with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into your ways and purposes of God, in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. Now see, that's what happens in the inner man. That's what the Lord is infusing into us. And this is how we are strengthened. You don't get strengthened by somebody laying hands on you and praying for you to be strong in the Lord. And though we say it, you know, in the church where I was raised, you know, people like to say, pray my strength in the Lord. Well, that's not biblical. You cannot pray somebody's strength in the Lord. That's not biblical. That's not Bible. He tells us that the Lord infuses inner strength into us. He does that, but he does it by his word. Now, why do we say this form of statement? It goes on. Say this with me. That we may live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing and desiring to please in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. Now, what is that acquaintance and recognition with? It's with the will of God. It's with the word of God. It's comprehensive insight, you see. You become acquainted with it. And you recognize it. Amen. This is what we're supposed to be doing out of our spirit as we think with the new nature. We're new nature minded now. Amen. This is where we're supposed to be living. Not on the lower places. Amen. So we say, thank you, Lord, for invigorating and strengthening us with your mighty power according to the might of your glory. That's what we say. That's what we say. Amen. And this is taken from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, if you want to write that down. And the reason why we do that, the latter part of this verse, in verse 12, says this: so that I might exercise every kind of endurance. Does it sound like you're going to have to exercise different kinds of endurance? Yeah. I mean, different kinds, right? No wonder he said, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Because you're going to have a lot of things that you're going to have to endure in. Amen? Amen? Now, what does it mean to endure? Think about that for a moment. What does it mean to endure? Right? Now, to properly endure means that whatever I'm facing, I have got a promise that I can rest on. And if I stay on that promise, if I stay mindful of that promise, if I keep that promise, that command, that law, that precept, I will endure. Right? So now, how often do we need to do it? All the time. Amen? So we don't get discouraged because of the problems that we have in life, because that's just our time in the school of the Holy Spirit to practice what we've been learning. That's our time to practice what we've been learning. In other words, the Lord says, okay, now you've been going to church, you've been sitting under your pastor's ministry, listen to the teachings, you have the school of the Holy Spirit, which is our Sunday school here that you go to every Sunday morning. You have Sunday night and you have Wednesday night. Now, I want to take you on a field exercise. Come on, kids, y'all like to go on field trips. Come on. You know you do. You know, Cece said one time, they were talking about doing field trips to colleges and going to different colleges. And she chose the ones that were the furthest away because she wanted to stay out there. That's smart. I mean, the girl, you know, she's just smart. That's good. Because, you know, if we're going to do a field trip, at least it ought to take all day. You know, get back this afternoon and hear the bell. Okay, see you tomorrow. So the Lord takes us out after we sit under the word and 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 sit under the word. And we confess the word, we pray the word, and we sing the word, we meditate the word, right? We're consumed by the word. Amen. On every side, we are pressed in by the word of God. That's what we want to be. And then he says, okay, now we need some experience. You need to put to work what you've been learning. Now, I want to show you what it will do. I want to show you by experience the power and the anointing on my word and what it can accomplish. And so he takes us out on field trips. Amen. We call them sanctified experiences. Hallelujah. Now, we haven't always liked them, but I think we're growing in appreciation for it tonight as we get better explanation into it. Amen? That's right. So that we might exercise every kind of endurance and patience with joy. You see, if I fully understand what God is doing, then I'm going to get to the place where I begin to go through life with the spirit of joy. Because after all, think about it now. In Philippians 4:13, he says he will infuse us with inner strength, right? All right, well, further along in the Bible, it says that the joy of the Lord is your strength, doesn't it? So the strength that he infuses you with is a joy. But look at the process of you getting joy. The process of you getting joy is found in Colossians 1:9-12. You meditate in that scripture and really get what he's saying and allow him to do what he wants to do. And it brings you to joy, because when you see how that the word of God and the anointing that's on the word of God brings about all of the blessing that it does, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, we used to sing, no matter what the circumstance, you know, the word of God is working mightily in me. We'll see that, and that brings about this joy. And that's the expression of the strength that he's given you. Joy is the expression of the strength that he's given you. Well, I mean, can't you see when a person has been lifting weights and working out and getting in shape, they stand up straight, they have good erection in their body, right? You know, their muscles are toned, they have a little curvature there, you know, looking all tight, you know, and nice, and they start wearing tighter t-shirts so the muscles can show a little bit more and all that stuff, you know? Isn't there evidence of that kind of thing? Yes. All right, when God accomplishes what he wants to accomplish in you, joy is the expression, is the evidence of what he has done in you. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, he says, so that I might exercise every kind of endurance and patience with joy. See, when you get this experience and you continue to endure and do it with patience, and you begin to practice that and you see the result of it, then you start practicing it with joy. I don't think you get started with joy. I don't think you start out with it in joy. No. I think you have to, it's kind of like you acquire certain tastes for certain foods and things, you know. You heard about it, somebody said it was good, but you've never tried it. And most of the time you held your nose and said, I don't want none of that. And then somehow somebody slipped it in on you, you know, in the meal, and you didn't know. And then they told you afterwards what it was, and you're like, oh, man. I thought that was some nasty stuff. I didn't know that tastes that good. And then you acquire a taste for it. Right? This is happening here too, you know. So you don't start out with joy. But when you acquire a spiritual taste for the way that God does things, then you begin to apply what he's telling you to apply, engage in what he's telling you to engage in a spirit of joy. And now you're doing what you do with joy. Amen? You're beginning to walk in the joy, in the strength of the Lord, in the rest of it, now that you've learned how that it works. And the result, amen, on your life. Praise God. Amen. We don't have to go around with our heads down with doom and gloom showing on our face, right? I thought in Psalm 19 and verse 7 and 8, it talked about it bringing enlightenment to your eyes. So our countenance should have a joyful expression. Amen? It should. Yeah, we should be uplifted, walking about that way. He said, in the latter part of verse 12, Colossians chapter 1, he said, I give thanks, or this is how we put it into the first person. I give thanks to you, Father God, because you have qualified and made me fit to share in the portion which is the inheritance of the saints. Where is the inheritance of the saints? It's in the light. That's what that scripture says. It's in the light. Amen. We are light beings. We are children of the light. What does that mean? We are children of illumination, understanding, right? We are children that have comprehensive insight into the truth. That's what light is. That's what light is. When the Lord said, let there be light, he was really saying, let people understand. Let them come to understanding. Let them have comprehension. That's what he was saying, right? That's what the gospel is. Illumination into the truth. Because it's the truth that you know that makes you free. Until you really begin to understand the truth of God's word, you are bound in your own mind. It don't take any change to bind you. You're bound in your own mind in superstitions and fears and misunderstandings. But when the word of God comes in, you get free from the inside, and people can tell the difference just by looking in your countenance. They can tell that you have been with the master. I mean, when Peter and his comrade was put in jail and all this kind of stuff, and they went and spoke to them, what was the statement they made about them? They said that they could tell that they had been with Jesus. They said, we took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. They're not acting like other prisoners trying to call a bail bondsman. Call one of them little ladies and say, we ain't mad at you, and get your bail bond money. Amen. No, they were going to suffer for the right thing. I think it's 1 Peter 3 and 17 says, it's good when you suffer justly for doing right. Amen. And so they weren't going to miss their blessing. They weren't going to complain and call for a bail bondsman. And those individuals looked at them. You know what? They've been with Jesus, because that's exactly the spirit that he had. He wasn't trying to get out of nothing. Had no fear. And spoke what he believed regardless of the intimidation and the threats. Hallelujah. That's real joy there. Amen. That's confidence. Are you with me? Now this is where we come. This is what we experience when we stay in the epistles and learn who we are, learn what God has given us as his followers. Amen. All right, let's go back to Psalm 119 now. Hallelujah. In verse 8, it says, I will keep your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Now, you see how that ties into verse 7? You see that? He said, I will praise and give thanks to you, verse 7. With uprightness of heart, when I learn by sanctified experiences your righteous judgments, your decisions against, and punishments for particular lines of thought and conduct. And he said, I will keep your statutes, O forsake me not utterly. It almost makes you think that maybe he knew a little bit about what God said to Jeremiah. But you see, you're going to say something like that if you don't have revelation. Will God ever forsake you? Huh? Now, see, these men said that under the old covenant, but when you get over in the old, in the new covenant, and let's clarify it, it's just one covenant made with one people, and we're beneficiaries on the other side of that as a wild olive branch. But at the same time, we use that just for clarification and show you where we're going from and going to. But he said in the new covenant, he said, I will never forsake you, nor leave you, but I will be with you even until the end of the age. So he clarified it. You see, he brought definition and clarification to his point of view on the matter as he fulfilled his ministry. He said that, didn't he? Yes. All right. Can you believe that?
Yes.
Can you stand on that?
Yes.
Can you trust in that?
Yes.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. See? All right. Now look at verse 9. How shall a young man cleanse his way? How shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, listen now. Let's go back to what he said previously. He said, in verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed and established to observe your statutes, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying them. So he's asking a question down here, right, that he's already answered. Isn't he? Do you see that? How shall a young man cleanse his way? And then he answered it again, by taking heed and keeping watch on himself according to your word. Not by taking heed and keeping watch on himself by trying to have self-control. Trying not to do wrong. That's sin consciousness. Have you been trying not to do wrong? Come on. How many of you have been trying not to do wrong? You get in situations, you try your best not to do wrong. What kind of consciousness is that? That's a sin consciousness. You already have power not to do wrong. The power that you have to do right is greater than the power that comes against you to do wrong. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, right? Amen. So we don't have to concentrate on trying to do right. Well, let's put it this way. We don't have to concentrate all the time on trying not to do wrong. Be good now. We tell our kids, don't we? We raise them that way. You better be good. We give them that kind of language, you know? And then we warn them by saying, if you don't be good, the devil's going to get you. Now, I know y'all don't say that to your kids, but I grew up in a time when they didn't have revelation on the Word of God. And we heard stuff like that. As a matter of fact, they said, the boogeyman's going to get you. That's what they used to tell us as kids. And so, you know, at night, that's why we didn't like to turn the lights out. Because we were afraid of the boogeyman. And that's why we had nightmares and dreamed of hearing footsteps coming down the hall to our room and opening the door and coming up to the bed. And we scooted under the covers and didn't want to peep out to see the boogeyman because we were afraid to look at him. I'm serious. That happened to me. I heard the footsteps coming down the hall, opened the door, and I slid up under the cover. I ain't looking. No. 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 I'm not looking at you. You better go away. And I laid there frozen in under the covers until I didn't hear anything else. And that's when I went to sleep. As a matter of fact, it probably scared me to sleep. I was paralyzed in fear, and I probably went to sleep pretty quick. Amen. You know, you can be injured in some ways and feel so much pain that you just faint because you can't comprehend. You can't comprehend feeling that much pain, and you just give out. Oh, and you just faint. People do that. Have you ever done that? Amen. Oh, Lord. That's why we need this strength, this infusement of power and strength from the Holy Spirit, because that's what happens in our lives. We start fainting in life because we don't know certain things. We start fainting. We don't have to faint. Amen. We can stay awake and face the enemy and tell him where to go. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, let's see. It says here, he says, by taking heed and keeping watch on himself according to the word, conforming his life to it. So I'm conforming my life to what the word says. I'm not conforming my life to my fears and trying to keep myself because of my fears, right? And all of that stuff. I'm conforming my life. My life is being conformed according to what the word of God says to me. Telling me who I am, telling me what Christ has done in me, who I am in Christ, and all of those things. All right. Then verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, my. Can we say that? Man, most of us can't say that. You know, we really can't. And if we say it, you know, piously with some type of self-righteousness, a sanctified experience will show us that we just lied. Won't it? A sanctified experience that's been ordained by God to help us to get some understanding into where we really are and what we really need to do will show up, because God cannot, he can't afford for us to think too highly of ourselves. You know, he can't afford for us to get the wrong opinion about ourselves. You know, we've got to have an opinion about ourselves based on who we are in Christ. Man, the devil is no match for me as long as I'm in Jesus. Life is in trials and tests and situations in life. There's no match for me as long as I stay in Christ. You see, that's where my safety is. I have to realize that. See, when I get into the ministry and in the teaching mode, I just relax in him and let him have his way. When I get into a prayer line and I've got to cast out a devil, I'm not doing that because of knowledge that I have or past experience. I'm looking to my Lord, I'm listening to my Lord, and I'm acting as he leads me in that particular prayer opportunity. I'll be successful only if I do what he tells me to do the way he tells me to do it, not because I've done it in the past. You see what I'm saying? My victory is based on, right? My victory is based on taking heed and keeping watch according to his word. According to his word. He's speaking to me all the time and preparing me for whatever life is going to throw my way. And if I'll pay attention to his word and my life, I'll allow my life to be conformed to what he says and not according to what I feel. You know, a lot of believers' lives are being conformed, you know, according to what they feel and what they fear. And what they think outside of the realm of the spirit of faith. They allow their lives to be conformed to that. And then they tack on religious language all around it. Don't they? And they learn how to say religious things. And so that kind of substantiates and justifies their action, but not before God. Come on now. It doesn't justify them before God. But it makes them feel all right. And then they find a church that preaches and teaches the same way, sings the same way, singing them old unbelieving songs and all of that stuff. And cry a little bit and say, oh, Lord, did we not meet with you today? And he wasn't nowhere near there. I'm telling you, when they start singing that old unbelieving song, him and the Holy Spirit says, well, let's go over the straight path. Because, I mean, I know what they're doing. Let's go over where people talk about us in the right kind of new nature mindset, because we can accomplish something over there. You know? I'm serious. The Lord can't do anything in an environment that's faithless. He cannot do anything, and he will not do anything, because he's not going to force even a miracle on you. Hallelujah. Faith is such an important thing, and there's so much needs to be said about it. Don't get an attitude toward people because their ministry is to talk about faith. Pray for them that they'll do what they're doing fully. I'm seeking to do what God's called me to do fully. I believe we have an audience. And I believe people are being fed and they're growing as we go out by way of the internet, you know, through the airways and everything. And so, you know, we need to pray for one another that we will be fully developed, preserved blameless according to 1 Thessalonians 5:13, spirit, soul, and body. That we'll be fully developed, you know, as a character of God. Amen? An expression of God. A revelation of God. Wouldn't it be nice if someone said to you said to you as a compliment, you are a revelation of God. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, you're not gonna hardly find anybody that talks like that though. You know, not unless they've been spending time with the Lord, spending time in His Word. They're gonna talk about how you look and the clothes you got on, but they won't be talking about you being no revelation of God. See, we've got to be more new nature minded. We've got to get to that level and so that we can freely converse with God and have Him respond. Right? Not being satisfied with saying some flippant religious saying that causes us to have an emotional feeling, but never hear God say anything? You mean I'm going to be satisfied with a feeling without the voice of God? No, sir. No, sir. He's my Father. He wants to speak to me. He desires to converse with me like He did with Adam in the cool of the day. Come on now. He wants to speak with me. He wants to confide in me. He wants to love on me. And He wants me to love on Him. He wants to embrace me. He desires that I embrace Him. Intimacy. Hallelujah. So, He said, with my whole heart have I sought you. You know, don't let that throw you. Because when we hear that, we think in terms of, I'm going to try to do better this week. Yeah, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to add 5 minutes to my prayer time. I'm going to get up 5 minutes early. I'm going to have... That's what we think, isn't it? We start thinking about how much more we can do so that we can say, I sought the Lord with my whole heart. That's not a true definition of what He's saying here. God is going to allow you to experience life. You don't only seek God when you go down on your knees. You're seeking God when you're in the middle of something on the job. When you travel and you're trying to apprehend something and they said it was there but they lied or they gave you bad information and it's not there and you wasted all of this time and you got a deadline and all of these things are happening. You are supposed to search for God's word even in those times. And if you're not searching for Him in those times and listening for His voice in those times, that's a part of your heart that's not seeking God. David was a man of war. He didn't have a lot of time, you know, on his hands when he was out there in battle to spend a whole lot of time in prayer. He had to go out there, you know, one rendition of this, which I like, you know, that was given of David in war, is he was out there on the battlefield with his sword, confessing the word as he destroyed the enemy. I mean, as he was fighting, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not walk. And he's going through there fighting and say, you know, I'll run through a troop and he's running through the enemy and leap over a wall. And have any of y'all ever seen this movie that was done by this gentleman who was somewhat of a rock star, Achilles' Heel? Have you ever seen that movie, Achilles' Heel? Achilles was a warrior, and I don't know a whole lot about it. It might have been something from Greek mythology. It might not even be true. It might be fiction. I'm not really sure. I'm not that good at that type of history. But he defeated all of his enemies. And I wish I could give you a demonstration of how he did it so that you could see it pictorially. I saw it for the first time in Jamaica at Bishop Allen's house. He had that movie, And I sat there and watched it. And so Achilles, the way that they demonstrated his ability to do warfare was when he approached another soldier, he didn't just go like this back and forth and fight with his sword. He ran up to his opponent. He would put his foot on their thigh and rise up on the top of them and put his sword down into their neck. So even if it was a tall, you know, 7 or 8 foot enemy, he would run and he would leap, jump onto their thigh or on their stomach and rise up above them and conquer them from above. I could see David saying, I'll run through a troop and leap over a wall. As he fought his enemies, God gave him feet like hinds' feet. And he leaped up into the air and hit some of Goliath's brothers right between the eyes. Look how David's men were encouraged. And they killed, I think Goliath had 5 brothers. David's mighty men killed those other giants, and they were frozen in fear before, as a young man, he tossed his stone between Goliath's eyes. They were empowered to go out as natural men, not even anointed with the anointing that David had, but somehow achieved it through faith, believing that God had chose us to do that. And they overcame Goliath's 5 brothers that was just as tall and mighty as he was. Amen. You see why it's important for you to go to church where you're supposed to go to church, so you can hear the word you're supposed to hear, so that you can go out and do what you're supposed to do? You just can't go anywhere. You really can't. You need to be where God has appointed you, because that's where you're empowered, you're strengthened, you're anointed. It should be said of us that we are mighty men. Yeah. Amen. Champions for the Lord. Amen? Yeah. He said, with my whole heart have I sought you, inquiring for and of you and yearning for you. Oh, let me not wander, now get this, or step aside either in ignorance or willfully from your commandments. See? So now you know that part of you has to do with the heart, doesn't it? That's the soul. That's the soul. And so as we listen to the Holy Spirit, he instructs us so that we don't fall into that trap. He helps us, doesn't he? All along the way. And if we'll pay attention, then we're seeking him then with our whole heart. But if not, then that part of our heart that needs to be trusting and relying upon him right then has exerted itself over into the area of our feelings and what we think. And that's dangerous. It's very dangerous, see? And it can get you in trouble. Amen. We said something earlier along these lines. What does it take for God to change your mind? What does it take for God to change your opinion? Because, see, there's a certain feeling of satisfaction that comes with you having an opinion. Every man has a right to his own opinion. That's what we like to say. And God says, nope. No, you don't. No, you don't. Opinion will get you in trouble. Right? It'll get you in trouble. More than an opinion, I need a word from God. Now, see, it's difficult, though, for that to happen, because opinion is a luxury in the human experience. Because it kind of makes you feel like you are a person of some worth, right? And self-achievement, doesn't it? It does. It makes you kind of feel good about yourself, right? Not good. Not good. Now, I'm laughing because I'm new nature minded. You might as well laugh with me. I'm not talking out of sin consciousness tonight. I'm talking about new nature-minded concepts. See, we need to get over into that so that we will, you know, work our soul salvation out with fear and trembling before God. If we're not actively involved in doing it, then we're resting over here in our opinion. We're resting in our own, the solace of our own thoughts and the comfort of our own opinion. And everybody in here knows that you get like a rush, almost like an adrenaline, when you're able to express your opinion about something. And it just comes out of you with eloquence. I mean, you don't stammer when you know, people that's got problems speaking and stuff and stammering. If that opinion comes up out of them, they speak just as clear. You understand them just as good. You ain't stammering now. That's because it's coupled with your emotions. See? And it sends it out of there with fire. It is a type of the anointing. Did you hear that? See? When I say type, it's not the real thing. But it works sort of like the anointing. Remember, see, there's always some old false way to do stuff. See? And it acts like that. It's almost like a type of the anointing because it gets it all together and then it just comes out of there with fire. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't believe it, and this is the way I feel about it. And you can take that and put it in your pipe and smoke it. Golly, I don't even have a pipe. Oh, Lord have mercy. It'll just roll out of there. Well, the Word of God will roll out of you, too, if you'll spend time with it. Right? See, and that's where God wants us to be. And if we don't, we're just going to be expert in expressing ourselves out of our soul that's unconverted, and it's just going to cause problems. And then we won't be fulfilling what he said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." We won't be fulfilling that. And we'll be speaking things that's contrary to the will of God. And then the angels of the Lord are not able to do some things that they've been ordained of God to do. You have to understand, if the angels of the Lord listen to the voice of God's commandments and God's purpose and God's will for our lives, that evidently, and I've never saw this, you know, I just got a good imagination, that's all. But I've never really seen this, but if I am indeed under the auspices of an angel that's appointed over my life, like an angel was appointed over Paul's life and was with him even on that ship when they were in harm's way and was speaking to him and telling him what to do. If I have an angel that's assigned to me and you have an angel that's assigned to you, it's important that that angel know what your destiny is. Because he's going to help you to get there. He's going to help you to defeat giants. He's going to help you to leap over big obstacles. He's going to help you to get through and get provision that you need for whatever it is you need to do. And so evidently that angel, if he doesn't have it downloaded into him by God, he has a copy of the book of your destiny. And he's reading on the pages of it, and he says, now this is what Pastor Ford is supposed to be teaching on right now at this time, and this is what his congregation is supposed to be involved in, and this is what they're supposed to be accomplishing. All of that is written down because God already knows everything that's supposed to be happening with me, with you, with the ministry. All of that's been determined. Nothing new under the sun, the writer said. There's nothing new under the sun. This has already been written. Amen. So now, if the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart is where it should be, by the Spirit, I don't know it, but because I am speaking what the Word says, by the Spirit, verbatim, I'm quoting from the pages of that book that's written about me. Woo, hallelujah. Just quoting from it. One of these days when we go to heaven and we get to see Jesus and he's just saying, boy, I tell you, I had a good time with y'all at Straight Path. The Holy Spirit even had a good time with y'all at Straight Path. And your angels just had a wonderful time and they came back and reported how they had a good time with you at Straight Path. And then he says, now I just want to give you your books. You know, I just want to give every one of you your books so you can take it to your apartment, your mansion, and you can sit down sometime. You can read upon all of the lines that I wrote about you, that I, the Father, and the Holy Spirit penned about you so that you can just have a place of reference. You can go to it, put your finger on it, and say, my God, that happened in 1993 on March the 2nd in the wintertime. Hallelujah. I mean, that's how precise our Father is. I said he's just that precise. He's just that on top of whatever is going on in your life. Glory to God. And every one of those sanctified experiences that we've had, we'll see parentheses around sanctified experience. And it'll be in bold letters. Amen. And you'll be able to touch it with your finger, bring up a Holy Ghost DVD, and watch yourself go through it and say, boy, I just barely made it through that one. Woo! Woo, we're going to have a good time, brother. I tell you, heaven is going to be fun. Heaven's going to be fun. And I believe it's going to be every bit of that. If I can think it, I believe it's going to happen. Amen. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what the Lord has prepared for us, what is laying up for those who love him. Amen. So if I can think it, it's probably going to happen just like that. Amen. Glory to God. Some of you, just like me, just going to fly, just like Superman. I've always wanted to do that. I can't wait. I know the first time we're going to do it is in the rapture, because we'll probably all live to see that. And we're just going to fly. Amen. And instead of having a big old S for Superman, there's going to be a big J on there for Jesus on my T-shirt as I go through the sky. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to look over to the other side and I'm going to see where Superwoman is. I say, there she is. Amen. And some of you mothers are going to look over and say, where's Supergirl? Amen. And some of you fathers are going to be like, well, where's Robin? We're all going to fly together. Aren't you glad? Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. We give you thanks tonight for your word. We're just so appreciative of what you're doing. And Father, we receive your blessing on our lives tonight. Out of Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24, the Lord bless you and watch and guard and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We give you thanks and praise tonight for all that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.